Today's shir is Masechta Saita Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin in Daf Mem Gimel Mabez, the last words of the Amid. Says the Gemara, V'am Rav Yitzchak Abba Rav Yochim Shum Rav Elezer Ben Yaakov. Meis Toifus Arba Amis L'Toma. That anybody comes within 4 Amis of the Nifter, he will be Tomei. We have to be concerned that he's coming that close to the Nifter, he's going to certainly be Tomei. Chatzar Akev V'tana Tuna. And says the Gemara, there's a brisa that supports this halacha, because there's a Mishnah that supports this halacha. The Mishnah Masechta Olos Perek Tezvav Mishnah Ches teaches us chatzar akev. If there's a chatzar where there's a cave where there's a nifta buried, halacha is ha'ayim b'toychay. If somebody stands in that chatzar, he will be tahar. However, says the Mishnah, that is only v'hi shiyei by arba amos. If the chatzar is only is Arba Amos big. Divri Beishami. Beisil's opinion, however, is Arba Tvachim. Beishami's opinion is that since it's so, only when it's Dalar Amos, can we be confident that the nifter, that the person will not come in contact with the nifter, but if with the kever. If it's, however, smaller, we need to be concerned that he's going to become in contact. And Beisil says that even if it's a small, as just 4 tefachim, we could already be confident that he won't come in contact with the kever. However, says the Gemara, the medvar amurim, when was that said that if you come only in contact when is Beis Hillel lenient? That's only shepischa mamala. That's only if to go into that cave you have to go up or you have to go down. So since if you have to go up or down, that will make sure, that will prevent you from getting too close to the mara where the nifter is. Av pischem natsad. If to enter, you just walk in. Tevahakol. So we have to be more concerned that the person standing there is going to come in contact with the kvarim. And even Beis Hillel will agree that you have to have arba amos. Ask the Gemara. Aklap alaya. We can make a counter argument. Adrabba. Minatsad. If it's on the side, so it's something that you're going to see that that's the entrance to the kever. And since you're going to see it's an entrance to the kever, you're going to stay away. Mamata, but if it's below you, so you're very likely to be on top of the kever. And we know we speak often about tumas oil. And tumas oil means that anything that's on top of the kever goes up. Therefore, we should be more concerned, says the Gemara. Indeed, the distinction has to be said this way. Ela b'medva mamurim, when is the halacha, the 4 tefachim is adequate? Shepischa min hatzad. So since the opening is from the side, you'll be able to notice and stay away. Aval pischa mamala, if the opening is on the top, and then there's a concern, as the Gemara just said, that you may be mal on top of the kever, arba amos. Mili, says the Gemara, that hani mili b'chatzar kever. So when were these halachas that we just said, the size of the chatzar, that's only when in a kever. The mesayme mechitzta, that since, as we said, the nifter is buried in a ma'ara, so since the nifter is buried in a mara, that will serve as a way for him to be able to stay away. However, in a situation of a mace ba'alma, if there's a mace there that is not in of a mace there, if there's a mace over there, so there ba'alma, that there's nothing to separate you from the mace. So there, everybody will agree that toughest that it's. Anybody who comes within Dalar Amis of the Nifter is going to be Tomei. Of course, the Tomei is only a Tomei de Rabbanim. We learned in the Mishnah, as the Shoitrim make announcement to the people that go out to war, who should not go out to war, we learned, Mia Isha Sheiris Isha, who is the individual who was Ma'aris and Isha that did Erisin, V'loi L'kocha, V'yelech, Yashiv Lebesai. We learned such a person should not go to war. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanah Sheiris. When the halacha speaks about erisin, the halacha is echra marasas a psula. Whether he did erisin with a psula, vechad marasas almana, or whether he did erisin with almana, echad shmeris yavam, or even if this woman is connected to him because she's his shmeris yavam, but filo chamisha achin, if there are five brothers that exist in the world together. Ameis echad b'mechaman. Of course, all the mefarshim point out that it doesn't necessarily mean that he died in war. The point is that he died. I did see that. Why does it say that he died in war? Because the halacha is, as we've learned in Masechta Yevamos and Masechta Ksubos, a woman may not get remarried until 3 months after her marriage is over. So normally, even if you become aware that this woman is your Shemeris Yavam, you're not just going to get married to her because you have to wait until the 3 months of Avchana are up. But by a case like we're learning here, where we're speaking about a war, in a situation of war, you might not have found out that there's a need for Yibum until later. And therefore, as immediately when you find out, she may be suitable for marriage. And here, there were five brothers. One passed away without children. So this woman falls to Yibum, to remaining brothers. All of them are considered in the category of they should go here, they should go home to war. So the Shiari Karban asks that we learned many times in Masechta Yevamos that when there are a number of brothers, mitzvah al hagodl liyabim, the primary mitzvah falls on the oldest brother. So why do the other brothers get exempted? So, of course, he answers that even though the oldest brother has priority in doing the Yibam, it doesn't mean that the other brothers are exempt. They certainly are not entirely exempt. And if at the end of the day, and if they don't want to do Yibam, if the oldest one doesn't do Yibam, it falls on the younger brothers, and that's enough to make them be considered Hayavim. The pasuk says, the Gemara points out that the pasuk could have used the words loy lacha. What is the Torah saying lacha? Whenever the Torah says the word lacha, it means that it's coming to exclude somebody. Who is it coming to exclude? Prat l'amana goyen gadol. If amana married a kohen gadol, or grusha v'chlutza married a kohen hedyot, or mamzeres married in the scene married Yisrael. Bas Yisrael, Mamzer, Lanasser, and all these cases, that's not a case for going home from war. So, of course, the Karen Oira asked the question that if a Kohen Gadol married an Amana, he's obligated to divorce her. So, if he's obligated to divorce her, certainly this is not a marriage that we're looking to maintain. So, why would we think that for such a marriage, he should not go home from war? Says the Karen Oira that the primary limit of this pasuk is actually by an islandess. Now, one is not actually obligated to divorce an islandess. Since one is not obligated to divorce an islandess, we would think that for that he should go home. Teaches us the halacha that it's mutter. The Pais Pinchas gives another answer. He says, yes, the halacha is that he's supposed to divorce her. But even though the halacha tells us that he's supposed to divorce her, if they have children, the halacha is that with those children, he's mekayim the mitzvah of piriviria. So since he's mekayim the mitzvah of piriviria, so maybe that should be, even though, of course, they shouldn't be doing it, maybe it should be good enough, they shouldn't be marrying, or shouldn't be married, still that's a good enough reason that he should go home. Teaches us the Gemara it's not a good reason. The Gemara also used the example, a grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedyot. And the Gemara often speaks about grusha v'chalutz together. So the Tosfos Yonta points out that indeed, the isser of a grusha marrying a kohen is an isser d'oraisa. And as we're learning now, for such a marriage, we don't go home. But, says the Tosfos Yontif, The Isser of a Chalutz to marry Kohen Hedyot is only Isser Drabonin, and therefore it's only mentioned in the Gemara because they're always mentioned together. But a Kohen would go back to for his wife that's a Chalutza. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam holds that even though a Chalutz L'Kohen Hedyot may be an Isser Drabonin, even for Isser Drabonin, the halacha is that you're not allowed to, that's not a wife that you go back for. And the Rishash explains, because we know that there's an obligation with the Raisa of Loisosim and Adova Shegidulcha. We're obligated to follow whatever the Rabbanan tell us. Yom and small, we may not deviate. So somebody who deviates from what the Rabbanan told us to do is considered as if he did an Issa Deraisa. That's not a marriage that we want to sanction, and you don't go back for that marriage. Says the Gemara, Lema, should we suggest that this Braisa, the like Rabbi Yosef Glili, is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili? The Rabbi Yosef Glili, we're going to learn that Rabbi Yosef Glili says, Ha'omar, that what is the definition of Mia Ish Hayari Virach Alevav, Zeh Mesiyar Meverish Shebiyodai? So this person did an Avera, so marrying such a woman. So we don't have to have a Pasuk to exclude them. Answers the Gemara, Afilu Tema, we could say that this Braisa is even consistent with Rabbi Yosef Glili, with the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Could the Rabbah? As Rabbah explained, Dama Rabbah, Lo'olam en Achayiv, person, a Kohen, who marries a woman whom he's not allowed to marry, doesn't get Malkus at Sheyivel, until he's intimate with them. Ma Tama, what's the reason? Because the Torah, when it speaks about the Yisr of a Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana, of a Kohen Hedyot marrying a Grusha, the Pasuk says, as Eila Layikach, and the Pasuk continues, Mishum V'Layichal Zara Be'amav. The issue is, what will it do to the yichas of children that are born from such a marriage? So it has to be a situation where there could be children already, and therefore the Avera is not considered having been violated at Sheyivo until he actually did the Biyo. And therefore we need a special pasuk to teach us that he's not really a Bal Avera, but still it's not a wife for whom you go home from. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, Ashebona, Ashenota, Asheiris. Limdach Torah Derecheres. The Torah here says the Gemara is teaching us how a person is supposed to live. Shivna Adam Bayis. First, a person should build a home. Vita Kerem, and then he should plant a field, which will be a source of income. Va'akach, and only afterwards Yisi Isha should he get married. It says the Gemara, Af Shleima Amar B'Chachmasai. We find Shleima Melech says the same in Mishlei. Chochem b'chutz b'lachtecha. Prepare, as the Gemara is going to say, prepare your home. V'adat b'sarach loch, acha u'venisa b'secha. And the Gemara explains, Chochem b'chutz b'lachtecha z'bayis. First we have to build a home. V'adat b'sarach loch z'kerem. Plant a vineyard to have income. Acha u'venisa b'bayis z'isha. And then get married. Why? So the Mashah and others ask, why are we explaining that this Pasuk is necessarily speaking about an order? Why don't we say that the Pasuk is telling us that these are what we ought to do? Not that it speaks necessarily about order. So the Mashah explains that really the Pasuk should have spoken about getting married first, because everybody is supposed to get married and everybody typically gets married. Not everybody has their own home. Not everybody has their own vineyard. And yet, the Pasuk is talking about getting married last. It must be, the Torah is teaching us that that's what should be done last. The Yin Yaakov says that the Pasuk should have mentioned getting married first. Because going home, because you just got married and you never had a wife, you never had an opportunity to live with your wife, certainly is the best reason to go home from the war. Why is it mentioned last? It must be that it's mentioned last because it should take place last. The Pasuk says that the Gemara says, Af Shleima Amar B'Chachmasai. The Gemara says that Shleima said it with his wisdom. So the Sefer Be'er Sheva discusses that the Mishnah Masech B'Yadayim discusses if Koheles represents the Chochmah, the wisdom of Shlomo, or represents Ruach HaKodesh. But everybody agrees that Mishle represents Ruach HaKodesh. So he asks why a pasuk is Mishle is referred to Af Shlomo Amar B'Chachmasai. So the Taurus Kenos answers that even though Mishle was said in Ruach HaKodesh, but it teaches us how to live. And the Chachmasai means that Shlomo Melech was teaching us based on Ruach HaKodesh, yes, based on Ruach HaKodesh, but he was teaching us how to live. The Masha explains that the pasuk says, Hochem b'chutz melachtecha, that means it's talking about a home, because that a person, until he has a home, he feels like he's chutz, he feels like he doesn't have a place to be. When he builds a home, that's when he feels comfortable that he has where to live. The Ben Yoyada says the word b'chutz should be explained from the word chitza, mechitza. When you build a home, how do you build a home? By building walls. V'atada b'sadalcha zakerem. The Tiferes Tzion explains why do we say that it refers to a kerem from everything else. So he explains that vineyards, other types of trees, typically dry up, but a field or a field of tvua has to be planted every year. A vineyard, he says, is a wonderful investment because by itself it grows every year. Grapes. And then the pasuk says, "Uvenisa beis as a ishtecha." So Rashi says, because the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi says, "Miyame lo karisi liishti ishti ela beisi." What is the mainstay of our homes? The mainstay of our homes are ishti, our wives. And that's why in the pasuk says beischa, it clearly refers to a wife. Davar acher, says the Gemara, another way of understanding that pasuk in Mishlei, hachem b'chutz melachtecha ze mikra, that a person should first learn chumash, v'atad b'sadalach ze mishnah, then learn mishnah, akach uvanisa beisach the Gemara. Davar acher, but then the Gemara suggests another way of explaining, hachem b'chutz melachtecha ze mikra mishnah, v'atad b'sadalach ze Gemara, acha b'nisa beischa elam asim toivim. Everything that you do has to culminate in the way you behave. All the various parts of Torah. So the Masha explains that what is the machloikus between these different versions. The question is that what is the main activity that a person has to be concentrating in this life. The first version heard, the first lashon heard, held that the main thing we have to focus on is learning Torah. That's the first. The second lashon heard held that ma'asim tovim, what we do with our learning, is critical. And the third lashon says drosh v'kabel schar. Drosh v'kabel schar, Masha explains, refers to Yerushalayim, that we have to spend our life preparing for Olam Haba and having Yerushalayim, and that's the drosh v'kabel schar. I saw a beautiful pshat, because many mefarshim ask that we know that we're not supposed to do mitzvahs just for the sake of getting schar. So if we're not supposed to do mitzvahs for the sake of getting schar, how do we understand this Gemara which says drosh v'kabel schar? So I saw a pshat that the gematria of the word drosh is the same as yosher. What is the biggest schar that a person can have? Drosh, that he should be straight. A person who learns Torah and it causes him to act properly, that is the biggest schar that he could get. Ve'el she'en chayzrim, but we learned further in the Mishnah, there are people who build homes that don't go home. Habayna be'shar, if you build a gatehouse. Tana, imhoisif, by if somebody added to his home, dimas echad, one row of new bricks, chayzer, it's enough of a reason to go home from war. Rav Lezer, I'm afa bayna bayis levena b'sharim, somebody who builds a new brick home in the area of Sharon, Loya Chayzer, did not go home for war. Tana, and explains the Gemara why, Neshmechachin I saw Pamayim Bishana, that if twice every 7 years they have to rebuild a house because the houses sink in, and therefore since they sink in, therefore it's not really considered a real house. The Meiri has a very bechidish. He says not only were these houses not stable, he says they had to be rebuilt twice every 7 days. We learned further in the Mishnah, Ve'elushen zozim m'koymim, bona ba'is chodesh v'chanocha. Tana rabbonon, isha chadosha, ki yikach isha chadosha lo yetze b'tzava, enli eli isha chadosha. This only teaches about a new wife, somebody who was a woman who was never married before, a man of a grusha. How do we know if a woman was married previously, still you shouldn't go out to war? Tamaloymer, the pasuk says isha, become makom, any type of wife. Im Kain asked the Gemara, ma tamaloymer isha chadosha? What do we learn from the words isha chadosha? Says the Gemara, misha chadosha loy. They only go back for a wife who's new to you. If somebody remarries the woman whom he divorced, shein chadosha loy, that she's not new to you. For such a wife, you don't not go to war. Tarabonin, kikich isha chadosha lo yetze b'tzava, yochel, we would assume, b'tzava hu de lo yetze. He doesn't go out to war. Avol, yasvik mayim umazin, he should be there to support the people in war. V'sakin adrochem, he should be there to rebuild the roads. Tamaloyim v'lo yava alovel chol dover. He's completely exempt. Yochel, that the other people that we've been speaking about, people who build new homes, not the Karen V'lechiloi, somebody who never had an opportunity to benefit from his vineyard, Eris Isha V'loi L'kocha, Tamaloymer V'loi Yava Olav. Olav, for this reason, that he, the Aloch is Yatamaver, that Avalatamaver Alachayrim, that the war effort you have to support, Machadik Siv L'loi Yaver, what does it have to say that pasuk as well? Says the Gemara, lava lo b'shnei lavim. Somebody who violates this gets two lavim. The Mishnah continues. The pasuk says, v'yasvu hashoitrim v'dabar al am v'amru mi'aish hayar v'rach alelevav yelich v'yosha l'beisai. Rekeva omer hayar v'rach alelevav k'mashmoy. It should be explained literally that somebody who is not strong enough, Leroy Scherf Shlufa, to see a sword. Somebody, he's not strong enough to go out to war, Leroy Scherf Shlufa, to see weapons. Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer, that the definition is, Hayari Velach Avlevov, Zeh HaMisyorei Mever Shibyodei. It refers to somebody that is afraid of the Averis that he's done. So the Sefer Ion Yaakov asks, why doesn't Rabbi Yosef Aglili agree with Rabbi Kiva and say and define the pasuk literally? Yar v'rach halevav, somebody who's is afraid, says the Ion Yaakov. Somebody who's afraid means he has Yerushimayim. Somebody who's a Yerushimayim is only afraid of a virus. He's not afraid of anything else. Another pshat the Sfas Emes says, because the pasuk says levov, and we know what the pasuk say. We say it every day in Krishma bechal levovcha, and the Gemara Masech the Brachas teaches the bechal levovcha means b'shnei yitzrecha yetzatoy v'yetzahara. So when the pasuk says the word levov, it must be talking about the yetzahara. So now the Achronim debate. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, what will be the halacha if you have indeed a person that Rabbi Kiva spoke about, this person who's scared? What will be the halacha? Does he go back in or not? And the Hagos Maimini says that indeed, if a person is scared, Rabbi Yosef Aglili will agree he shouldn't go to war. He's just adding that a Yar V'rach HaLevav includes somebody who is worried about the Averis. However, the Lacha Mishnah disagrees. And he says that Rabbi Yosef Glili is arguing with Rabbi Kiva. And according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, only if you're fearful of your averus do you go back. Any other fear is not a reason to go back. Why does Rabbi Yosef Glili use the word Hamas Yari min averus shebiyodoi? Why doesn't he just say Yari min averus sheosa? He says because averus shebiyodoi represent averus that you do with your hand, that you steal. And what we're learning from here explains the Yakra Meiri, that when, what type of averus are Rabbi Yosef Glili referring to? Averus or ben odom lechaveroi. But averus ben odom lemakom have a different rule. Lefikach, says the Gemara Mishnah, tosolay Torah as kol elu shiach sebeglolim. So explains Rabbi Yosef Glili, even though as we've been learning there are many other reasons not to go out to war, because the person who's lack is leaving is worried about his averus. We don't want him to, he's embarrassed that people should know he has an avera. So there are many other reasons why you don't go out to war. So when people will see he doesn't go out to war, to say it's probably one of the other reasons. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Amon al Kain Godl, Grusha v'chalutza v'kain hegit, Mamzeres v'nesin l'Yisrael, Bas Yisrael v'mamz l'nosun, Harehu. That is in the category of Yor V'lach Levav, and the Gemara is going to explain to Mitzvah Shem what is the halachic nafkamina between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Aglila. V'hoi k'chalois ha-shoitrim, says the Mishnah further, v'hoi k'chalois ha-shoitrim v'dab al-am, v'hoktu sori tzvos b'rosh ha-am, says the Gemara, they would have these offices stand Ve'ekvah Shalom, in the back of the nation, and Mamidim Zekifim Lefneim, and they had officers standing at the front. Achreim Mechreim Ve'kshilim Shabbaz Ve'yedeim, and they had these people at the back. V'kol Mavak Shalachzer, if anybody would try to run away to desert, Harshus B'yodai L'kapech Asaykov, he could cut off his feet. Why? Shetchilas Nisa Nefila. We have to be very careful to make sure that nobody runs away. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Nos Yisrael ofnei Pelishtim, as soon as they started running away, the Gam Magdeif G'doy L'Hosbam, that's when all the trouble began. L'Halon Oimer, V'Yenusa Anshi Yisrael ofnei Pelishtim, when they ran away, V'Yiplu Chalolim. And the Merem Yisada says, that we know that Halacha teaches us that there's a concept of a Roidef. A Roidef means somebody who's causing somebody else to chasing somebody to kill him. So says the Merem Yisada, somebody who runs away from the army is an individual who's a roidef. Because by him running away, he breaks all the other soldiers' strength, and therefore he's considered a roidef, and we could do whatever we need to do to stop him from running away. The Arugas Abaisim quotes the Chayvus Halvavus. The Chayvus Halvavus says that when people were coming home from a war once, they said, we're coming back from the easier war, and now we have to go to the more difficult war, the war of Yetzer Hara. That's why he says that Rabbi Yosef Aglila said, being fearful of war is not really considered fearful. What is really considered fearful? Somebody who's worried about the averus that he might have done. The Medvar Mamurim says the Gemara Mishnah, When are these announcements made? But Mechemes Rishos, when somebody is going out to a Mechemes Rishos, the Gemara is going to explain what is a Mechemes Rishos. I have a Mechemes Mitzvah, but when we speak about a Mechemes Mitzvah, like when Yeshua led Klal Yisrael to conquer at Yisrael, Hakol Yotzim, everybody goes out to war, Afil Chotzim Mechedroi, V'Kal Mechupasai. Amar Yehuda, Mamed V'Mamurim, when is the halacha that we go back from war, the various individuals that we've been identifying? The Mechemes Mitzvah. Abba Mechemes Chayva, which again, Mitzvah Shem, the Gemara is going to identify what that means. Hakol Yotzim Afilu Chosim Mechedroi V'Kala Mechupasa. So this is the basis for a very famous question. And that is, women, there's a question, are women obligated to hear Parsha Zohar? Are they included in the halacha of Mechias Amalek? And the Rishonim already debate this. Some Rishonim say that Mechemes Amalek is certainly a Mechemes Chayva. And here it says that Kalim Chupasa. So we see that women are included in the war. So therefore, women are Mechuyiv and Parash Zachar. But there are those that say that women are not Mechuyiv in Parash Zachar. What will they do with this Gemara? They're going to say what the Gemara means to say is that the Kala is affected by our Chosin not being able to be with her because he goes out to war. But not that she herself, not that she herself has to be participate. Says the Gemara, as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, both Rabbi Yose and Rabbi Yose Aglili said Ayari Virach Levav refers to Averis. So ask the Gemara, my Ikka, what is the Machloikis by Rabbi Yose Aglila? Answers the Gemara, Ikka Maya Benaya Derabonin. If somebody did an Avera Derabonin. According to Rabbi Yose, only if you did an Avera Deraisa are you Chayiv. According to Rabbi Yose Aglili, any Avera. According to Rabbi Yose, it's only Avera Deraisa. Ask the Gemara, Kaman Azlo Hadatanya, who is the Tana of the following opinion, Soch, Bein Tefillah Shel Tefillah, if somebody spoke between Tefillah Shel Yad and Tefillah Shel Rosh, Avera Hi B'Yodai, it's considered a significant Avera, V'Choyza Le'a Me'archei Melchama, and you go back, and you can't be a soldier, Kaman Kab Yos Aglili, because it's certainly only an Avera D'Rabbanon, and yet, it says that it's enough of a reason to go out. So there's a big Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Rashi seems to learn the Gemara that normally you only make a bracha on the Tefillin Shel Yad. When do you have to make a bracha on the Tefillin Shel Rosh? If you spoke between the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. So you, by speaking, caused to make a bracha that normally you wouldn't have been obligated to make. That's why you go back. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that if somebody puts on Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, you make a laniach tefillin on the shayad, and you make normally a mitzvah tefillin on the rosh. But if you spoke between the tefillin shayad and tefillin shorosh, you have to make the laniach tefillin on the rosh again. And therefore, by speaking, you cause the brach levatala. But many rishonim say that the focus here is not the issue of the bracha. The focus here is that you weren't supposed to speak between the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. And somebody who did speak between the Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad deserves to go back from war. Why specifically this? So the Rosh in Hilchos Tefillin says that through wearing Tefillin, people go out to war will be able to prevail in the war. But that obviously is only in a case where you did the mitzvah of Tefillin properly. If you didn't do Tefillin Shel Yad, and tefillin, if you didn't put on the tefillin properly, you don't have the schus to be able to prevail in war. Another pshat that I saw from the chart of the Rebbe is that we know that the Tefillin Shel Yad represent mitzvahs that we do, and Tefillin Shel Rosh represent mitzvahs that are in our mind, thinking about, learning Torah, Amun and Hashem. And those people, there are some people that excel in mitzvahs that require activity. And some excel in the mitzvahs that are done with the head. Al Gemara says that you can't make such a differentiation. A person has to be able to do both, has to be able to do both types of mitzvahs. And somebody who doesn't do both types of mitzvahs, then he can't be a soldier. Michtam Eliyahu explains that what Al Gemara is teaching us is in order for Klal Yisrael to be able to prevail in war, you need to have people who didn't even do an Avera D'Rabbanan. So even though, as we've been learning, speaking between the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh is only an Avera D'Rabbanan, a person who's even over Avera D'Rabbanan cannot go to war. And I saw a similar thought from the Klozmer Rebbe Zitzal. The Klozmer Rebbe explains that the Gemara in a number of places in Shas speak about Eden Rischa. There are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particularly looking at us and judging us. So explains the Klaus Magareba. When a person goes out to war, in such a situation, it's an Eden Rischa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very much looking at him. And since that's a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much looking to him, very much looking at him, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to, that's when a person has to be perfect. And even if he did what we might consider a minor aveira of Soch Bein Tefillin Shayal or Tefillin Shoroish, he already is not the person to go out to war. Mantana, asked the Gemara, Mantana Lahar, the Tana Rabbanan, who's the Tana of the following Brisa? The Brisa says, Shama Kol Kronos, if somebody heard the enemy making noise, Versia, and he got frightened, Hagophas trace him, that they start banging on metal, Versia, and it causes him to become frightened. Tzichtzich Harovas, he hears how they're sharpening their swords, Umayim Shoysen Al Barakov, and it causes him to be scared and urinate. Kaiser, who he, that's a reason to leave the war, says the Gemara command. Whose opinion does that follow? Lame Rabbi Kiva he, because we learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva said that a Yori Varachalevov, the definition is somebody who is frightened. So that isn't that the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? V'loi, not the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, says the Gemara, Bahafila Rabbi Yosef Aglili Maidi. Somebody who is in this type of situation, Rabbi Yosef Aglili will agree that he should leave the war. Somebody who's in such a situation could cause a weakness in morale to all the soldiers. Since he could create such a situation, he should not go to war. When Mishnah said and about what they said, and the Mishnah said that if somebody runs away, we could break his feet. The Mishnah says running causes the fall. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah should have said that the army may lose because they ran away. Says the Gemara, that indeed that's what the Mishnah means to say. The end of a successful war could come about because Nisa people ran away. We learned in the Mishnah, the Medvar Mamurim, the Mechems Rishos. Ab Mechems Mitzah Kol Yoytzim. And Rabbi Yehuda said, the Medvar Mamurim, the Mechems Mitzah. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rishus the Rabbanon. The Mechemes Rishus that the Rabbanon, the more that the Rabbanon called Mechemes Rishus, Zu Mitzvah the Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda calls a Mechemes Mitzvah. Says the Gemara that, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is they're not really arguing. They're just arguing and what to call what. Mitzvah the Rabbanon, the Mitzvah that the Tanakhama called Mechemes Mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda uses different wording. He calls it Zui Chayv Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda calls Mechemes Chayv. Says the Gemara. And the Gemara, as we said, identifies each type of war. Amar Rava. Mechemes Yeshua Lichbosh. When Yeshua went to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Divrei Hakol, everybody agrees that that's called Mechemes Chayv. Mechemes Beis David, Ravacha. When David went to expand Eretz Yisrael, or to conquer nations, that he should have income from taxes, Divrei Hakol, everybody will agree that that's a Mechemes Rishos. Ki pligi, what is the area of a Machloikis? Because we do see a Machloikis in the Mishnah. So what is the area of Machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon? Ki pligi, lemute avdik chavim, the leilai surlei. The preventive war, that they should not, that our enemy should not attack us. Makarlei, Mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda calls that a Mechemes Mitzvah. Omar, whereas the Rabbanon, the Tanakhama, calls that Rishos. What's the Nafgamina? It's a war that we have to participate. Says the Gemara, we know there's a rule that Oisik B'Mitzvah, one is involved with one Mitzvah, Potem in a Mitzvah. So according to the Tanakhama, this is not considered a Mechemes Mitzvah. Since it's not considered a Mechemes Mitzvah, it's not a situation where we could apply the rule of Oisik B'Mitzvah, Potem in a Mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda does call this type of war a Mechemes Mitzvah, a And therefore, we could apply to this war the rule of ice to the situation, the rule of ice for the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. Hanulach Meshuch Machama, Hanulach Meshuch Machama, Hanulach Meshuch Machama. We begin now learning the halachas of Egla Rufa. And as the Rishonim point out, even though the halacha of Egla Rufa, and again, the reason it comes into our Masechta, because as we began the seventh perek discussing what should be done, what could be said b'choloshen, in any language, what could be said in Lashon Kodesh, and the Mishnah identified that Egla Rufa, the parasha of Egla Rufa, which we're going to be discussing, had to be said b'loshen Kodesh, so that's why it's mentioned here. The reason it's mentioned here, even though in the Torah it's mentioned before Meshuach Mechama, explained the Rishonim, because the subject of Meshuach Mechama is a short subject, as we just learned. So the Mishnah first, the Tana, the Masechta first focuses on the shorter issue and now begins to discuss the more longer issue. Egla Rufa, what does the Kanim say? As said, B'loshan HaKadosh. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Kimatzeh Chol Ba'adam, and the Gemara is going to explain in Mitzvah Shem what the Mishnah means to say with this. The Pasuk says regarding the procedure of Egla Rufa, three members of the Bez Nagod Mishlaim are Yotzim. Three members of the Bez Nagod. He says that, says Reb Chaim Brisker, from here we see that even when a member of the Bez Nagod is not actually standing in the Bez Nagod, he doesn't lose his stature of being a member of the Bez Nagod. Yudai Mechamisha, Rav Yehuda says it was five members. Shneim is a kenecha, which is a Lashon Rabbim, so means two. Shneim, for Sheftecha, is another two. Ein Bezdin Shokel, but you never can have a Bezdin of an even number. Meisifin Aleim Oid Echad. So the Yad Ramah, it points out a very important point. The rule of a Bezdin Shokel is said when we're going to have a vote in Bezdin. And if we're going to have a vote in Bezdin, we can't have an even number. So we should be able to achieve a majority. But says the Yad Ramah, and the Tosis also says this, from here we learn a much more fundamental halacha. From here we learn that there's a rule, that the definition of a Bezdin is a group of odd-numbered people, even if there's no psak required. We have to add one more people and one more person, and by adding one more person, we have a total of five. Says the Mishnah further, if the person who this corpse that we found was Taman the Gal, he's hidden over a boulder of rocks, or Talibi Elon, or he's hanging a tree, Loyaya Orphan. We did not do Arifas. Because the whole purpose, explains the Chaskuni, of doing this procedure is to identify the murderer. And a person who killed somebody in such a fashion is certainly going to run away, and there's no point in going through the procedure. We're not going to find the murderer anyway. Loi hayu orphan. They didn't do arifa in these situations. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, ba'adoma, that it has to be laying on the ground. And from here we learn, Loi tam begal, not if he's under stones, knife of loi tali belilam, not if he's hanging on a tree, besada for loi tzofa mayim, not if he's floating on water. Nimtza samach lesfar, if he's found in a city next to a city of non-Jews of Akum, since it's a place where there are a lot of Akum who are very likely to murder somebody, so then we don't go through this procedure. And therefore, if it's a city that is primarily non-Jewish, we have the same halacha. Or if it's closest to a city that doesn't have a Bezdin, furthermore, the only city that we measure is to a city that has a Bezdin. And the Maril Diskin explains why. Because it says in Pirkei Avos, Cherv Bol Oilam, why are people unfortunately murdered? Al Ino Adin, Val Ivas Adin. Because the Batei Dinim don't act honestly. And if there's no Bezdin, So they had no, that city has nothing to do with the murderer. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah began by saying that how do we know that the parasha of Egla Rufa is said in Lashon HaKodesh? So the Mishnah says, because the Pasuk says, Ki matzah chol ba'adama, v'yotzah z'kenes v'shoftecha. Ask them, my comer, what does the Mishnah mean with that? Amar v'uhach comer. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in the parasha of Egla Rufa, v'onu v'amru, and l'halu oimer, in the parasha of Har Grizim and Har Evil, it says, v'onu alevim v'amru, ma ha'niya amur l'halun, as we discussed previously, it had to be B'loshon HaKodesh. That's how we learn Afkan that Egla Rufa was B'loshon HaKodesh. The Seda, and then the Mishnah continues to teach us the Seda Egla Rufa Ketzad. What was the procedure? Kimatzah Chola Ba'adama. The Torah says V'yotzu Zekenech V'Sheftecha Shloishim Mebezden Agol Shebishlaim HaYoytzim. Three members go out. Rabbi Yudaima, it was Chamisha. Tan Rabbanan. How do we, says the Braisa, v'zayotu z'kenecha v'sheftecha, z'kenecha shnayim, v'sheftecha shnayim, and then we have a rule, ein bezdin shokol, you can't have an even number, v'sifin alein, erachar arei kant chamisha, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon Omer, z'kenecha shnayim, that we learn from z'kenecha another two, so therefore we learn from z'kenecha two, v'ein bezdin shokol, v'sifin alein, erachar arei kant shnayim. But ask the Gemara, why is Rav Shimon only learning from the word Zekenecha? Ask the Gemara, what's Rav Shimon going to do with the word Vishavtecha? Rav Shimon Nami, Haksiv Vishavtecha, answers the Gemara, that need to teach us a different halacha. Lemi Yichodim Shim Vishavtecha. It has to be from the most prestigious Dayanim, which as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, Dayanim who sit in the Sanhedrin, who sit in the Lishkas Hagazas. Rav Yehuda says, we learned that Ziknei Zikenecha. That we learn from the fact that the Torah says Zikenecha, the most significant judges. Rav Shimon, so what does Rav Shimon say? Ikas Rechmana Ziknei, he said, Havamina feel Ziknei Ashok. Any elderly person, that even if they're not, any dying, even if he's not a member of the Sanhedrin, Kosov Rechmana Zikenecha, Vikas Rechmana Zikenecha, Havamina, I feel Sanhedrin Kedana. Sanhedrin Kedana, people from a Bezdin, of 23 members, Kasser Rachman v'Shavtecha to teach us leimuchadim shavtecha. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda need Zekenecha for the same purpose to teach us that it can't be members of the Sanhedrin of a smaller Bezdin of the 23 members Bezdin? Gomar zikne zikne mezikne eda. The Torah says by the parhelm dovish atzibur that a Bezdin made a wrong psak. And people act on that psak. They have to bring a type of a carbon. And there, the Torah says, there it's talking about Michodim Shebeida, the Sanhedrin, Afkan, Michodim Shebeida. And therefore, Igomer says the Gemara, if he learns the Sekseri Shava, Ligmei Kul Milsim Ahasam, and therefore the Halacha should be, that we should, the Halacha should be from there, the Mount of Dayanim. It's like the Gemara, Zekenecha, V'Leshevtech Lamali. So why do we need the extra words? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Sheftech, Vav Sheftecha is coming to teach us how many. Rav Shimon, what does he do about that Vav? Says the Gemara, Loi Mashmalei. He doesn't learn the Vav. Elam Ato asked the Gemara, so why don't we say that V'yotzu, it says V'yotzu Madatu, so V'yotzu should come to add two more Dayanim, or Madadu should come to add even two more Dayanim. Shnayim v'shnayim. Rabbi Yehuda Rei Kantisha. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should have four more. 5 + 4 = 9. Rabbi Shimon, we should have four more, which means 3 + 4. Harei Kant Shiva. Answers the Gemara. Ha'umim ba'alei chetanya v'yotzu hein. That the Dayanim themselves must go out. V'loi shulchem. They can't rely on shluchim. Umartu shafilu nimtzu ba'alei le'ir. Even if they found the nifter, and it's obvious which city the corpse is closest. So we would think there's no need to go through this entire procedure. We already know for sure where it's going to end up. Shafilu nimtza balil shalir. Even if it was found, obviously, by one clear city, still, hayimaritin, they went through this procedure. Shemitzvah lasik b'medida. The Torah requires that we do a medida, And the reason is that it should give publicity. And once we have the publicity, it's more likely that the murderer who did this terrible act will be able to be caught. And that's the same reason why the shluch, we do the Sanhedrin themselves do the medida. We don't rely on shluchim. Again, the same reason. When it's the Bezdin themselves, the members of Bezdin themselves who are doing this, it's more likely to give it publicity and more, therefore, more likely to find the murderer.